Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, 20 years after Ireland made history with the first nationwide smoking ban in workplaces, across the water, the UK is looking to make some history of its own today. British MPs have a free vote on a new law banning all tobacco sales to the next generation. That's anyone born after January the 1st, 2009. Now, the bill is being promoted by the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. He's facing considerable pushback from his own party, led in a fairly curious twist by his direct predecessor, Liz Truss, who branded the new law unconservative. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by the political editor with the Financial Times, George Parker. Hello, George.
Morning.
This was modelled on a law in New Zealand. That's what Rishi Sunak was looking at when he decided to go for this. But in New Zealand, that has since been abandoned. Is that right?
Yeah, they abandoned that policy back in November in New Zealand to save money for tax cuts. A new government came in. So Britain will be pioneering this new approach. And lots of people say, well, it doesn't make any sense that, you know, you're talking about an arbitrary cut-off date for the age at which people can buy cigarettes, that in many years to come you might have to turn up age 41 not being able to buy cigarettes in a shop and have to bring ID, whereas at the age of 42 you might be able to. But nevertheless, this is going to go through the House of Commons for sure. It's controversial, but I think it's one that commands quite a lot of cross-party support.
So it is going to go through, you say, despite this discontent amongst some Conservative MPs?
Yeah, this is a danger for Rishi Sunak. He's made this a free vote. That means there's no whipping of this. MPs can vote with their conscience. But we are expecting to see a fairly significant number of typically right-wing libertarian conservatives who will say that this isn't a conservative thing to do. People should have free choice. And it would be awkward for Rishi Sunak if this legislation goes through with the support of opposition MPs. But nevertheless, I think many people in the country, according to the opinion polls at least, think this is the right thing to do. But the problem is, if you're Rishi Sunak in a currently fairly weak position politically, any sign of division within your own party doesn't look great.
And we all know that the tobacco industry, certainly in the past, was very skilled at lobbying. Do you think that that's what is happening here?
I think there's a bit of that, although you do hear people from the tobacco industry saying that they've learned to embrace regulation. I think this is something which is quite visceral for some conservative right-wingers. You mentioned Liz Truss saying that we're a free country, we shouldn't be telling people not to smoke. Boris Johnson has said the policy is absolutely nuts. So in some respects it's a right-wing thing. Some people are using this as a proxy to have a go at Rishi Sunak for being not conservative enough. So I think that all those things are swirling around. It's important to say, by the way, that some of these people who say it's not conservative to have a ban on smoking are the kind of people who would vote for the state to intervene in people's private lives and have voted in the past, for example, to stop same-sex marriages. So you can say there's some double standards at work here.
You could say that, yeah. And how about vaping and how vapes will be treated under this law? Does it cover that?
It does. So the idea is to try to stamp out the way that e-cigarettes and vapes are being marketed at children. So the bill is going to restrict the range of colours and flavours of e-cigarettes to make them less attractive. People in government see there's a role for vapes to try to get existing smokers off cigarettes and onto vapes, but they're worried that the tobacco companies and the vape companies are coming up with fruit-flavoured products and marketing them in colours that are designed particularly to attract children and create a new generation of people using nicotine. Mm-hmm.
And we've mentioned Liz Truss a couple of times in relation to all of this. She says it's unconservative. And I was listening to a part of that interview she did with the BBC's political editor, Chris Mason. She's selling a new book. Before we have a chat about her and just how much influence she might have, let's have a listen to a quick clip.
Let's address, if we may, first, two sort of elephants in the room, the human one and the political one. And the human one first.
The human elephant, I love it.
The human elephant.
What is that?
Yeah, what is that? There's the theatre of the theatre of the mind. You know, 18 months ago, you had a moment that personally was humiliating. And the human reaction to that, for many people, might have been to, I don't know, vanish off and run a B&B in Crete. Was that ever tempting? Your approach has been the opposite. You're out there.
I hear it's very hard to make a success in the hospitality industry. So,
yeah, she just sounds in very good form, George. Not like somebody who perhaps realises how damaging her premiership was, both to her personally and to Britain financially and politically.
No, I did an interview with her as well around the launch of this book, which is modestly called 10 Years to Save the West. And she was in exactly the same form then. She was laughing a lot. And a lot of people in this country don't find it funny, the fact that she crashed the economy.
I can imagine.
Lots of people are paying higher mortgage rates as a result of what happened during her two-month premiership. Certainly Rishi Sunak doesn't find it very funny because the Conservative Party has never recovered from the collapse in its poll ratings that she engendered back in 2022. But you're right. I mean, she is in good spirits. She looks really well. She's a completely different figure to the person who looked haunted when she left Downing Street in October 2022. And she shows no sign of remorse whatsoever. Some would say that shows a total lack of self-awareness.
And what is she doing? I mean, obviously she is selling this book. I mean, but has she got her eyes on some sort of political comeback, or is she happy just to have an influence in the way that she has intervened in this smoking discussion?
Well, she says she hasn't ruled out the possibility of making a comeback, although I think if you look at her personal ratings, they're still dreadful, and I think the idea is pretty fanciful. But I think she does like the idea of influencing decisions. If the Conservatives lose the British general election, which we're expecting later this year, then it's possible the Conservative Party will take a turn to the right in opposition, in which case Liz Truss would hope to be shaping that debate. Some of her former supporters think that she's doing a lot of this stuff to become a more marketable proposition on the American speaker circuit, where there's a bit of an appetite, particularly in Republican circles, for British politicians to slag off the lefty establishment in the UK, which, by the way, includes the FT, according to Liz Truss. We're apparently supporters of the deep state, which is in favour of decline, national decline.
And do you think, given that you've had that very recent conversation with her, that she would have an appetite for and be capable of leading that right-wing arm of the Conservatives post-election if they face defeat?
I think it's unlikely. You don't hear many Conservative MPs saying that Liz Truss is the person to take this agenda forward. I think they regard her still as a liability. Some would see her as a bit of a laughing stock as well. But there are other people around her on the right of the party, people like Suella Braverman, Kemi Badenoch, for example, who would be prepared to sort of fly that sort of anti-woke, anti-establishment, libertarian kind of Toryism, which incidentally I think is an electoral blind alley for the Conservatives. You know, Liz Truss says she won a democratic mandate to become Prime Minister. Well, that's not strictly true. She became Prime Minister in 2022 off the back of votes by Conservative Party members who tend to be older and much more right-wing than the general population. And I'd love to have seen how Liz Truss's agenda would have fared had she ever put it to the British electorate more widely.
Mm-hmm. What options do they have, though, the Conservatives?
Well, the options are fairly limited. I mean, Rishi Sunak, as I mentioned, is battling these terrible opinion polls. Typically, the Tories are 20 points behind Labour. That hasn't really changed very much since the Truss debacle back in 2022. All the polls suggest the Tories are leaving office. And classically, when parties lose office, they turn in on themselves. They decide that they lost because they weren't being true to their instincts. And the case of the Conservative Party, I think, is a real danger electorally for them, that they head off down a right-wing blind alley, which will take them years to come back from.
All right, George, we leave it there. But thank you very much for being with us this morning. George Parker is political editor with the Financial Times.